I want to introduce you to my friend. Some of you I introduced my friend to earlier. This is Peter. Peter came a long way to be here this morning. Peter is from the country of Tanzania in Central Africa. Welcome.
Thank you, Brad.
Let's talk a little bit about home.
Yes.
You're a married guy?
Yes, I'm married.
Raise that thing up.
Yes,
there.
I'm married.
Yes, you're married.
Yes.
You heard that. He is married. I love this.
Yes.
What is your wife's name?
My wife was named called Happiness. In Tanzania, we used to call Furaha. Yeah.
You may have missed that. Her name is Happiness.
Yeah.
So is mine. Happiness.
Yes.
We got a picture up there of Happiness. Look at there. That is the picture of Happiness.
Yes.
Now, I gotta tell you, I gotta get a story told here. Tell me where you were a week ago, and what was happening, and tell me a little bit about that picture.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor. She's my wife, as I said, Happiness. That picture is concerning our daughter, a little baby, known as Queen, the one we got the same day when I got my visa coming here. I was far away from my family, and my wife called me in the morning that I'm going to the hospital to deliver. So I made a joke to her, why don't you wait until when I come back? She said that the time is ready, so let me go. Actually, we were still communicating with her until when the doctor told me that she's not able to deliver in the normal way. She got surgery when I was far away. And then when I come back at home, I stayed with my baby and my family for 7 hours negotiating that I have a ticket on my hand to go to the USA. But the situation is there. My wife brought a new baby. I need to enjoy with her. But I asked my wife, how can I do? Can I stay with you or can I go? She said that my husband, we have been called to work for the Lord.
Amen.
You just go. And we trust that God is with us. We will be praying for you, and then you will be praying for us. So that was the wonderful message. The wonderful thing, we got her name when I was at the gate by negotiating. What the name? Because I was in her. So then at the end, we mentioned the name Queen. She's Queen. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, you got to listen really hard to understand all of his English, but let me piece together a little bit of this so you don't miss this. The baby was born, and 7 hours later, he said, "See ya, I gotta go," and so he's only been with his little child for just a few hours. His wife said, "You've got to go. The Lord has called you." He had his visa, and so he is here. His brand new baby is halfway around the globe, and we're so grateful for the sacrifice that brings him here. Don't miss this either. The baby's name is Queen. So is mine. Oh no, that's she's at least the boss. So, a married guy, married to Happiness, and has a little baby named Queen. Tanzania is on the eastern side of Africa. Now I'm not going to ask him this. I'm going to tell him these things. Yes. I did a little research. Tanzania is a little bigger than Texas and Oklahoma combined. Big place. Has twice as many people as Texas. Double the population, a little bit larger. Dar es Salaam is the capital city and is about twice the size in population of Houston. So Dar es Salaam is a mega city on the eastern side of Tanzania. As I just For your information, I actually had the privilege of being in Dar es Salaam a few years ago and going there with a group of pastors to do some work. I asked him about the work in Mtwara, which is a smaller city on the coast south of Dar es Salaam, and we have people that are working there. Now, one more thing I want to say about Tanzania. I ask about International Mission Board personnel that are in Tanzania. You know, our money has gone to support missions through the International Mission Board. I hope that you are saving your pennies and you're going to give those pennies to Lottie Moon, to our annual Christmas offering that supports international missions. We are supporting Southern Baptist missionaries around the globe. But I ask, how many personnel are still in Tanzania? And I thought I knew the answer, but the answer is almost none. Almost none, because what they have done is they have left behind a group of Southern Baptist pastors who are well-equipped to continue the work. And so your International Mission Board is pushing money toward Asia and South Asia, toward Central and South America, to places where the work is still more fledgling. The church in Tanzania is strong because it has strong pastors like Peter. Peter is a Southern Baptist pastor and a leading pastor in his region. So, tell us a little bit about your church.
Thank you. My church, I'm leading the church.
Keep talking.
I'm leading the church, which contains 70 people in the church.
70 people?
Yes, 70 people in the church. This is the church which has established for almost 12 years since when it started. I was sent there as a mission from our association to establish churches. Since then, I started that church almost 22 churches. I'm overseeing there as chairperson of our association called Msoma. That is my church.
His church has about 70 people. It's been established for how long?
12
years?
Yes.
And during that time, they have established not one church plant, but 22 church plants. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for being a church planting pastor.
Thank you.
For showing us how it is done. I told Peter yesterday, I've had the grand privilege, and it is a grand privilege, to rub shoulders with guys like Peter across the continent of Africa and see the work that they are doing. Along with working in Denver and Vancouver, with what God has taught us, we've gone out on this limb and followed the pattern that others are going before us with, and being a church planting church, and I'm so grateful for that. You use a technique In working in churches and in planting churches. It's a reference to the relationship that Paul, the apostle, had with young Timothy. Tell us what is a Timothy and how are you using Timothy's in your ministry?
Thank you. So the Timothy is the one who is working close with a pastor by doing evangelism, church planting, open air meetings. For example, in my church, I have 6 of them. So while I'm out like this, they are still working for the ministry in the church, even out of the church. So until when we can recognize that this is the man who is spiritual and he has grown, so we can plant a church by using a Timos and send it to that church as a lay leader for a moment. Yeah.
So what he's saying is they see the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. They're emulating that by raising up young guys within their church bodies teaching them, empowering them, and then sending them out to be church planting pastors. While he is away on business here, he doesn't have to worry about those things that are happening back home in his church and in his ministry, because he has young disciples that are working with him closely, Timothy's, that are able to stand in the gap and continue the ministry while he's away. You know, it worked in the New Testament. It works in Africa. And in part, we're seeing that here at South Georgia Baptist Church. We are watching as God raises up another generation of young leaders. There's a little frost on the pumpkin here. I ain't going to be around for all that long, but these young guys are coming up. Marcus, we're so grateful that you've joined our ministry here and filling a gap as Brad and Jonathan have been commissioned as Timothy's to go plant another church, and we're raising up others that are right here, and I'm grateful to be a part of a church that is investing well in what is coming. Thank you. Not only are you a Southern Baptist pastor and a Southern Baptist leader in your region, but you're also a part of this organization called Reaching Souls International. It is the organization that Carla and I went to Mozambique with. It's the organization that Marcus is a part of. It's an organization of a group of Baptist guys started years ago that continues the work by supporting national pastors. You see, it just makes sense, doesn't it, that nationals reach nationals, that someone who knows the language and knows the culture. I'm not very good with my Swahili, but it just kind of flows out of him. By the way, I ask him, how many languages do you speak? I speak one. He says, oh, four. So you are supported. You're a part of this organization called Reaching Souls International. And what's your title and what is your responsibility with Reaching Souls International?
Thank you, Pastor. I'm an assistant director in our country. So we work three guys in our office. Our boss is the national director, Cody Boniface Ponejan the Sambo. Then I'm the third one. I started working in that position for 3 years now. So my responsibility is to oversee what is going on the ground, what missionaries are doing at the ground, and we receive reports by using, we have three different titles, categories. We start our missionaries at the ground, and then we have team leaders who is working cross with a group like 15 people in that group. Then when we need to know what is going on at the ground, we use team leaders to collect the information and then to know what is going on, what we can emphasize, what we can advise for the ministry, and then we send those reports in our office at Akroma. Yeah.
Peter is an associate national director in Tanzania. I've already said Tanzania is a little larger than Texas and Oklahoma. There are three of these guys, a director and two assistants, that cover all of that huge land mass. Yeah. There are 270 pastors that are supported by Reaching Souls International all across the nation of Tanzania. Yeah. And so his responsibility is to work with team leaders, that is, groups of 15 or so pastors have a leader among them. So he works with the team leaders and also with the pastors all across this huge landmass called Tanzania. 270 pastors supported, and he is a part of this hierarchy of organization. How many countries now? 11 countries. 11 countries, mostly in eastern parts of Africa, with Tanzania being the newest of those countries. Almost 2,000 pastors up and down that eastern side of Africa that are supported by this ministry. The work that Peter is doing is important as he holds accountable these pastors that are working in this area. They report to him, and there's a sort of a joke, but not really. Every pastor is required to send in a report, a written report, on a monthly basis.
Yes.
Is it true? No report, no support?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not a joke. If they don't give the report, then the support money doesn't make it to their bank account. So
yeah.
No report, no support.
Yes.
It's a checks and balances of accountability that happens, and Peter makes sure that happens in at least a third of this great area. Just so that you will know, it costs a lot less money for a man to live in Tanzania than it does for you to live here in America. The support that goes to those national missionaries in Tanzania amounts to about $60 a month. Now that would be about equivalent to what a school teacher makes in Tanzania. So our dollars stretch a long way in a country where their demands are much less. And I'm so grateful for African pastors that are reaching Africa for Christ. Now you made a comment a minute ago about Timothy's doing open air meetings. What's an open air meeting?
Thank you. The open air meeting is the meeting where we prepare either at the market, either at the funeral when it happens, either at around the interior village. So we prepare, we have the sound system where we can use, especially for our missionary, we just offer the sound system and the bicycle in order to reach at the village. When we reach there, we put that sound system in order to call our people, start singing there. Then we invite a preacher to preach for the gospel. That is the air opening meeting.
An open air meeting is when a pastor or a Timothy, where a man of God preaches outside of the local church. Now, I told Peter yesterday that if I set up at 58th in Georgia with my sound system, somebody's going to say I've gone nuts. But in Africa, it's far different.
Yeah.
You can take your sound. We've watched this happen, and it's the craziest thing. You can go into a marketplace,
yes,
and set up your tiny little portable solar-powered,
yes,
PV sound system,
yes,
that you've had strapped to your bicycle, and you've,
yes,
rode to a marketplace,
yes,
and you can set that PV up and begin to preach the gospel. And
yes,
what happens,
yes,
when you do that?
So what happens, people will come when they hear about that sound, and they will come to know what is going on. Then when we start to preach, they will stop listening. At the end, we invite them to receive Jesus. So most in a day, you can do even three different areas. When you put there, then after 30 minutes, then you go to another place. So in that way, we use to reach our people by the gospel.
And people respond to the gospel
actually,
right there in the marketplace.
Actually, they do.
And they come to know Christ.
They come to know Christ. Then after that, we get their names for those who came to Jesus, and we make it for a letter. Yeah. And direct where we are.
And you find a church for them so that they can be discipled in,
yes,
that area.
Yes.
The gospel, the good news of Jesus, as it is presented in some of these countries. And Carla and I were astonished this summer again as we saw the gospel being shared and people so hungry, so ready to hear the gospel, they were responding to it quickly. Okay, we got to move on. You said something about an open-air meeting could also be a funeral?
Yes.
You are crazy. You preach the gospel at funerals.
Actually.
And offer an invitation?
Yes.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to offer an invitation at the next funeral I preach.
Yes.
Tell me, he told me this story. Tell the story about a funeral you preached just a few days ago.
Yes, it was almost 3 weeks ago before I came here. We got a funeral at our church. Our church member lost her baby. And then when I was at the office in a different area where our office is, I got a call. Then I come back at home. We prepared for the burial, and then we get some conflict there for the family, where they are trying to make conflict that who caused that problem. So, you know, African, they have their local traditional. So, but at the end, I got a chance after the burial to preach the gospel. When I preached the gospel, actually, I wondered our God, because almost 20 people received Jesus at that funeral. So it was a wonderful meeting. So we use that area when we get, even it can be the place where they are in, the family is not Christian. When they got that funeral, they found a pastor to preach. So that is the privilege also we use to preach the gospel. Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
I want to read a passage of scripture for you today, and it's going to take two of us to preach one sermon. Listen, this is from Jeremiah chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there, please do. Jeremiah 1, beginning in verse 4, says this: Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build up and to plant. Peter, you told me yesterday about preaching a sermon from this section of Scripture.
Yes.
In a brief way, tell me your thesis from that sermon. Tell me what you spoke to your church from this section of Scripture.
Thank you, Pastor. I preached this sermon last Sunday. After there, I left to come in the USA. My teaching was concerning that God called us to do something. We have been called for a purpose. So when I was reading this verse, I discovered three different things that I knew before you were formed in your mother's womb. So that is a wonderful message to me, to encourage my church members, that God knew us before. He knew what he called us to do. Everyone was born for a purpose. He is in the church for a purpose. Not staying on, enjoying, but there is a purpose called us to do. God called us to do. And the second one was when he said, you was born, since when you was born, I set you apart. This one, it called that, I was saying that we are among of our people, many of people, our tribals and the relatives, but God has set us apart for a purpose. So that is why I was trying to encourage youth, according to the different age, elderly people, to know that they can ignore that my limitation, I'm old now. I can't do anything. But God has a purpose with you. I told them, some of our church members that are in low economic, I told them that you have, God can use you. You can be all the one, but you have money. God can use your money to send the gospel. So I was trying to encourage them until the end. I finished by telling them that Jema was saying that I'm still young. That is was the catch of the Jew. When a person is still young, without reaching at the 30 years, he can say that I don't have anything to say in front of the people. But God told him that before you were born, I knew you. I have a purpose with you. I set you free, apart for the purpose. So I told my people that God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. But from Jeremiah, us God, to each one, he has a purpose in the church and out of the church. That was my message. Yeah.
Here's the short version of that, and that is, quit making excuses. Mm. You're not too young, and you're not too old. Mm. God has called all of us. Mm. Listen again, and let me make 3 points from this section of Scripture in about 3 minutes. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Point number one, it is God's grace that called us all. It is by his grace. He knows us. He knows everything about us. And he called us by his grace. Point number two. He says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. We're not alone. God wants to use each of us, young and old. He wants to use each of us, rich and poor. He wants to use each of us, regardless of what you think you are. God has a purpose for you. He's called you by his grace, and he has promised to never leave you or forsake you. It is by his presence we are protected. And point number three, behold, he says, and this is almost like Isaiah in chapter 6, where the hot coals touched his lips. And here it says, and the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Here's the message. The message that we are sent with is the very word of God. It is powerful and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to know it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. And get this. We need to share it. We need to actually speak it. We need to share that we serve a God who overcame death in the grave. We serve a God who is living, a God who knows, a God who cares, a God who knew us before and still loves us to the end. I want to close the service this morning with an invitation for you to respond. You're not too young, you're not too old. God knows you. He has called you. He has empowered you with his presence, and he has sent you out with his word. Let's pray.